Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Perfect. Miss Bringy Scott Bell. I kid because I care. Scott Bell, scout, Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, a storied background in hockey. And Scott, I wasn't at the same club sometimes that we work out at. Were you out there today?
No, I wasn't there today.
You didn't get your lift in yet?
No, we like the Lifetime. They're a local company, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they do a great job taking care of their people, for sure.
Absolutely do.
This is getting crazy. It's almost by the hour, this COVID stuff. It looks like the Wild may play the last game before the Christmas break for these teams. What's it like in your circles? Is you're scouting and you're talking and all these things. What's the last week been like as COVID has reentered our lives?
Yeah, it's been a little different. I mean, we had our communication with the Maple Leafs, and we're Toronto, so Canada has a little bit. They're stricter on their COVID precautions and protocols, so I know that my understanding is that the NHL would likely shut down until at least till December 23rd and won't have any more games. And it's just been the masking up, and we're going to have to go to our meetings, going to booster shots and different things like that. I know they have protocols and precautions, and they're just worried about people's safeties. But it's something, and I think the NFL might set the standard in the playbook for how to handle this going forward, and hopefully that they can kind of lead the way and get this on a straight path.
Yeah, and basically you heard Mike Zimmer right before we came on saying, hey, they're not going to miss any games. Believe me, the NFL is not going to miss any games, and I believe that. I believe their commitment is so strong, and they've got whatever it is that they're going to use as their science, they're going to use, and I don't know where the fans fit in on this, but they are, just like last year, when everybody said, well, there's going to be an NFL season, I talked to some people in the NFL, they said, absolutely, there's going to be an NFL season. There might not be all the players that always play every week, but there will be an NFL season because they're not going to lose that money, even if there's no fans in the stands. And that was hard to watch. Now, when you went through it the first time, the end of 2020, obviously, and then the following year, and you're still responsible for scouting, how much streaming scouting were you able to do? And take me back, because now I forget some of this stuff. Did you watch a lot of things via streaming at that point in time as a scout?
Well, we were unique as far as with the NHL, because Kyle Dubas, our GM, he was very cautious and following protocols, and the Canadian government had certain protocols in place. So we actually streamed all last year was video scouting after the first like month or two. We went all video for the entire year. So we were one of the few teams that just went straight video, and we were, they said we'd be fired if we went to games. So we were not.
That'll do the trick, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, he said, cause everybody's like, oh, don't you want to go to games? I'm not getting fired to go to a game. So we did everything, and now we're hooked up with every avenue to watch things online, and we have every system there is, and we're pretty geared up, and we're we have all the tools necessary to see people on video.
Okay, so you're responsible, though, for grading some of these guys, et cetera, and I know how much you rely on relationships, et cetera. So did you watch a game stream-wise, and then is there a way then to follow up and talk to the right people, et cetera? Sometimes, you never know who you're going to run into at the rink, which is part of the fun of it, right? But are you able to access and talk to people that you want to say, hey, I saw this kid and he looked good, tell me more about it?
Absolutely, and that's part of our job is to network and have relationships that you can call on to get information on players. And, Matthew Nyes is one of the players that we drafted out of Tri-City. I saw him a lot as an underage player, so he wasn't draft eligible. When we say underage, it was the year before his draft eligible. And so I had a good idea what he was as a player, as an underage player, so when I was watching the video on him, I had a better understanding of what he was just because I watched him so much the year before. So we put more of an emphasis on watching underage players now going forward when we're at live games just so we can have that database on these players. But, the relationship thing's huge. And I know, players, we call the housing parents, we call their teachers, we call their Bantam coaches, we call their Pee Wee coaches. We call, we call everybody and anybody, the trainers, the weight coaches, the assistant coaches. So the personality and how you treat people and how you behave as a person plays a big part in why we draft you or where you get drafted and if you get drafted. And, there's a couple kids that we just flat out kept off our list because, our recon on them was a little bit they just didn't fit our mold or they didn't have the standard of that we were looking for as far as just people and treating people well and things like that. So we do deep dives on kids all the time.
Scott Bell is our guest, scout for the Toronto Maple Leafs and beyond. Do you ever have times, because we all have different relationships with different people, and does it happen very often where one you're doing a reference check on a kid and one guy says, oh, great guy, man, great competitor, blah, 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 and the next person says, oh, he's a jerk. I mean, does that happen often just because the nature of personalities?
I would say that if a player or a person is not, if they are a jerk or somebody that the coach doesn't like or somebody doesn't like, this is how they'll answer. They'll never bury a kid or say super negative things about a player, but they won't say anything at all.
So you listen for what you don't hear, so to speak, right?
Absolutely. They won't say anything like, they call and say, hey, how's so-and-so? Oh, he's fine. Oh, he's a decent kid. Blah. And they don't say too much, very vague. Everything's general. And then you say, hey, how's Jackson Blake? Oh, he's great. He's this. He's
yep.
that. He's, and they just get all excited about him. So, that's how you kind of weed through that because they don't want to ever be the reason a kid does not make it or isn't drafted. So they make you work or they make you dig a little deeper when you get those types of answers. Then you start going and you'll start talking to more people just to try to get a better base of it or obtain a better picture.
So the USHL, the junior leagues, same thing, streaming, and do you talk to, they all stay with billets and everything else. You get into that a little bit, and how hard did these junior leagues survive it okay because they're so driven by gate receipts?
Yeah, they did survive. I know some of them had some difficulties. And the different states had different rules too. Like if you were in Sioux Falls had 6,000-7,000 people at their games all, during the COVID. Other teams in different states were shut down and the Sioux Falls Stampede had full crowds and had great crowds. So, every state was a little different and I think they did manage to survive financially. I don't know on how all that works, but with the billet stuff you referenced, I had one player that I called the billet. He played in two different leagues and I heard some rumors, so I actually called his billet that he lived with 3 years prior and he didn't treat his billet parents very well and was disrespectful and those types of things and found that out. And that just kind of influences us on what we decide to do with that individual. But, all those things, we do circle back, and I think that's a good lesson for kids to learn that, hey, how you treat people and it matters, and how you act as a person, it matters, and your character does matter, and all those things, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, thank you, hold the door open, all those things add up, and people really do pay attention to those things. The little things do matter.
I got two questions along those lines. One, I remember talking to you, and I'll share it with you privately. I won't do it publicly, but an NHL team has got it down to two players, and so that it's a deep dive now because you're talking about first round picks and et cetera, and they go meet with the one player, and they watch the way he talks to his dad, and he calls his dad every name in the book as if that's just a part of the normal conversation. And they're taken back because they find that highly disrespectful, that that's his threshold, that he thinks that that's okay. And so they drafted the other kid, and which turned out to be the right selection, etc. But they said this guy didn't realize what he was giving away because he just thought that that's the way everybody treats their parents. And we all looked at it as we can't have that in the locker room. Does that happen from time to time where people just have a different definition of what they consider to be good behavior, bad behavior?
Well, absolutely. And you know what? It's how you're raised and brought up and those types of things. So there are, certainly different definitions. But at the same time, just being right, there's right and wrong. And being respectful and treating people well, there's a right and wrong. And if you're not respectful to your parents, how are you going to be respectful to a coach or someone that's going to have to tell you a person in a position of authority that needs to tell you to do something? How are you going to respond when they say something to you if you treat your parents that poorly? So that's kind of a no-brainer. And if a kid is like that, you know, that's probably a kid we wouldn't bet on either.
You know, another thing that we in the media do, and I feel a little bit guilty about this, because we're looking for the story and the next best thing, and then once you identify that this kid is great, then you go tell a great story about him, and you continue the saga, so to speak, or the legacy of what they believe, and pretty soon you realize that we're telling them how great they are, their coaches are, their teachers are, everybody is. Even though we know that they're still in store for pitfalls, we're not trying to do that. We're just trying to highlight a kid. And it has kind of a counterintuitive effect because pretty soon they start believing that they are the best and they don't need to keep working for it or grinding it because they've arrived. Do you see the profile of that from time to time?
Well, certainly you can see that across the board in sports, and it plays itself out all the time. And it's I always say that sports is the male soap opera, like we and female too as well. But it's the thing that lots of things play out, and it certainly does happen. And unfortunately, that does happen. But you know, we try to believe in the best of people, and you want to build up people, and you want to be positive, and you want to show good sides of people, and try to weed out the negative. So I guess I'd rather have the positive, and sometimes it may go sideways, but we try to get the good in people, and that's when the magic happens.
And the other piece of that, the other magic that can happen, you and I have talked about this before, is that's why there's such great value in lower round picks, because they have ability, you've identified that, but they also have a hunger. Because they buy into the grind, so to speak, because they don't believe that they've arrived. And once they get their footings, look out, because once they catch somebody that was drafted above them, they're never giving it back because that guy quit working and they keep working, correct?
Oh, yeah. Nico Strum from the Wild, he is an absolute wonderful story. He got traded in the North American League to the Austin Bruins down in Austin, Minnesota, played for Chris Tock and Jamie Huffman there. No scholarships, anything. Ended up playing never in the USHL, North American League, went to Clarkson, and played well there. And all of a sudden, you know, he worked from the North American League, traded in that league, and now he's playing in the NHL for the Minnesota Wild. Like, that's just a wonderful story that he's an example of that magic happening and just working and battling and never giving up and playing in Austin in the North American League, getting traded in that league. And just that, for me, that's a magical story that the Minnesota Wild just kind of have in there. And as part of their culture too, guys like that make it there because they embrace that type of personality and that kind of story.
You know, another one that has a little bit of that, I just talked to him a couple hours ago, I had a nice visit with him, Charlie Lindgren. Lakeville kid that went to St. Cloud State, had success at St. Cloud State, then ended up in Montreal and in and out, never played. Last year he was in the minor leagues, gets called up by St. Louis. I think it was four goalies in front of him. at least early in the season, and there was a COVID case, an injury case, and this and that. He's 5-0. He's won his last five games because he's hung in there. And you know, he's hung in there and chose to. He comes from a hockey family. You know it well, Scott. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden, he's lightning in a bottle.
It's just wonderful. Never give up. And his brother, Ryan, too, plays for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got traded from the Boston. He played in the American League for a year. You don't know which way it's going to go. And all of a sudden, he's in there, and he's battling. He fought Phil Kessel the other night. But
did he fight Phil?
Phil the Thrill got in his first fight in like 10 years. But Ryan agitated him so much. But that family has some grit and grind to it, and they don't quit. And I know the dad's been involved in, like, as an agent, been in it. But those kids have... That's what Ryan has. He has grit, and you know, and Charlie in the same way. And as a goalie, to have that kind of grit, it's mental toughness. It's just that mental. I will not be denied. I believe in myself. Those are magical, and that's why we like sports, is because things like that happen, and we see that, and we can see some of ourselves and people that go through struggles and make it, and we're just happy for them. And that. For me, that's the beauty of sports, seeing things like that happen.
Our friend Tom Curvers, late Tom Curvers, used to tell me that hockey has a way of rewarding those that deserve it. Is that the way it feels for most people? Because it does seem like there's more room for grinders there than anywhere else.
Well, there are, because there are designated roles, and it's a roster of 20, and guys on that third, fourth line can find their place on a team that has a bunch of stars, and that they do all the dirty work, and they work, and they do the grind, and they are a good teammate, and they have character, they can get rewarded. And it's, you know, like Charlie Lindgren's a good example of that, and Nico Sturm's a good example of that. The Hartman kid that's playing for the Wild,
yeah,
playing lights out, he's a great example of that, too. Just no quit, and just, you know, he's...
Yeah, and he went from first round to being bounced around, right?
Absolutely, and now he's found his game, and he's found a home, and the, you know, the coaching staff embraces that. Billy Gear and Randy Saxon, those guys embrace that type of person, and it shows in the way they play, and it's just wonderful to see.
In the NHL, who's the most important person to set the culture? Is it the general manager, the coach, or the captains?
Well, I think it's the combination of all three, I believe, because you can see Billy Gear does set the standard for what he wants, and his coach follows suit with Dean Evason, and then you can see the captains there. They do a great job there, and you can see it all the way from the... I think the Wild is a real good blueprint for how that works from top to bottom, and through management to coaches to players, they do a really good job, and it shows in their production as a team. They're not a team of superstars, but they're a very good team.
Last question. I know you're out here most of the time, but do you feel Toronto, so to speak? Are you there enough to feel the culture, the Maple Leafs, and the crowds and the fanfare that goes with being a part of Toronto?
Oh, yeah. Toronto is, you know, like their original six. They're, you know, the mecca of hockey. It's a special organization to be a part of. I feel lucky and fortunate to be part of it. You can feel it. I mean, we're on the cusp of something really good, too. So if it can happen for us, it's lights out in that city and that country for Toronto. There's a lot of Maple Leaf sand all over the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, I just hope there's fans there to watch it when it happens. But, yeah, they're having a great season with some great young talent. Scott, appreciate it very much. Merry Christmas. Right, I don't see you before, but maybe I'll see you at the club before.
All right. Thanks again.
You bet. Scott Bell, nice enough to join us on News Talk 830 WCCO. See, every sport has different personality to it, and a different personality that it takes to make it. But there is one common denominator. There is one foolproof way to get as close as you can to reaching your potential. I'll explain that when we come back. Welcome back. Sportster to Box, News Talk 830 WCCO. The common denominator for kids that make it in sports is the right attitude. And you say, oh, damn, Max, of course it's the right attitude. Tell me something I don't know. Here's what you don't know. The definition of the right attitude. Because having somebody that is incredibly positive, that never swears, all those things, that can be the right attitude. Having somebody that's spicy and seasoned, and maybe player one that we just talked about never gets in a fight or an altercation, but player two says, bring it on, man. Nobody Nobody is going after my team or my teammate without paying a price. That's the right attitude. Having somebody that never, ever, ever says much when they're playing, but they work and they work and they work, and every day they've got a goal to outwork everybody on their team and their opponents. That is the definition of the right attitude. Having somebody that spends all their time trying to make everybody else better and be the encourager in the locker room, that is the right attitude. Having somebody that's just a badass that you might not even know what's coming every day, but that keeps everybody on edge. The other team, your team, the coaches might blow up at his teammates. That can be considered the right attitude. So if you, the big mistake that some people make, including coaches, they say this is the right attitude, when this is very fluent and it moves around a lot. And you can have two very different attitudes, and they both have great attitudes. And that's where great coaches define themselves, because they can separate that. They can say the badass I need and that really nice guy I need too. I'll talk more about that with Larry McKenzie. They've got a very special basketball game coming up next week. It's an interesting one. Who they scheduled and why they scheduled it, that's next on News Talk 830 WCCO.
You know Dasher and Dancer and
Prancer. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. The high school sports go on. Joining us now, head coach of Minneapolis North High School, Larry McKenzie, to talk about his basketball team and much more. Larry, good evening.
How you doing, Maxie? How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing? You know what? You've dealt with this COVID thing once before, and now we keep hearing it. We don't know what direction it's going. What did you learn from the first time around, Larry?
Well, I mean, you just got to take a lot of precautions, Maxie. I mean, so, you know, we just try to continue to tell our guys you need to wash your hands. You got to stay hydrated. You know, if you're feeling a little under the weather, we prefer that you miss practice. Yeah, I mean, you know, we missed almost 20 days last year, not because we had anyone test positive, but just because we were, you know, close to somebody. And so as a being in close proximity, you know, that we had to sit out 14 days each time. So,
well, I can't remember. Didn't Minneapolis City Conference make it vaccination mandatory?
They did. Yep. So but we got guys who, so it's mandatory right now. And, but I probably maybe 50% of my team is vaccinated. So all of the other guys are required to, take tests every Monday.
That's what it is. So you don't have to be vaccinated, but you're mandatory testing if you want to play, huh?
If you want to play, that's correct. Yeah.
And how has that worked out? Is it a good system in place? What is it?
Well, I mean, so far so good. I mean, I'm not involved in the process. I just get notified as to whether or not my guys have tested and who needs to be tested if they did not turn in their test on Monday. But I'm not involved in the process at all.
Okay, let's take this a step deeper, Larry, because that's what I love about having you on. We can do that. So since COVID hit and distance learning to now, are you starting to see the effects of, can you tell, you know, what kids kept up with their schoolwork, had great access to, and what kids didn't? Now that we've been, it's kind of, the first part of it, and last year's distance learning is behind us. Are you able to get a good idea who's where?
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, Max, I've been blessed. I mean, a lot of my kids are really student athletes, and so
plus you stay on top of them to make sure they are.
Yeah, yeah, and so they took care of the book. But what I can tell you, Max, I mean, I'm gonna tell you what I've seen is, and just to be very real with you, I saw a lot of my kids who graduated in 2020. Who went to school and because of COVID got kicked out of the dorms, and because they didn't have basketball, because they didn't have classes to go to. I mean, it's sad to say a lot of those kids I'm seeing out in the street right now,
you know,
and, you know, I'm just praying that they'll you know, find their way back to some of the right things. But I can tell you, I can see that kind of impact on a lot of kids, on a lot of those kids that, you know, just didn't have, you know, places to come back to, that they would be held accountable and those kind of things. And so as a result, you know, I mean, we got some kids that are not doing as well as we had hoped.
What can you do when you see a kid like that, when you see a kid that you know, and maybe you knew and you know him to be a good kid, or they can be a good kid if they choose to be, and now they're 20 years old instead of being in your program in 17. What can you do? I mean, is there a method you can use to try to get them back on the straight?
Well, I don't know if there's a method. You know, one of the things that we try to do is we try to encourage our kids. I do let the kids know that if they're interested in, you know, getting back in school and wanting to go do some things, we're here to help them any way that we can, you know, but it has to be your decision. And, you know, Maxie, I mean, one of the things I use quite often, and I used to tell Lawrence this all the time, and I tell the kids this same thing now, I am willing to push the car, but you have to start the car.
Yep.
I'm willing to help any way I can, but you got to start the car. I can't, because of it. If you're doing it for me, it won't last.
No,
you got to be doing it for you.
And Lawrence is your son who played for the Gophers. People will remember and had a storied career at Henry and Oklahoma and the University of Minnesota. So when they're not willing to start the car, do you learn over time as a coach and an educator? That you just can't invest in those that don't want to be invested in? Are you able to say, hey, this is all I can do?
Yeah, I think it's funny you say that, because that's been one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn over the years, Maxie. Is, I mean, it's hard, but you can't win them all. I know my mom always told me, she, you know, and my mom was a longtime educator, and the thing that she told me, she said, look, son, you got to focus on the war. You're going to lose some of the battles.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay focused on the war. And so that was a hard lesson to learn, because I honestly tell you, I mean, you know, in the early years, I thought I could save them all. I really did.
Sure.
And so, you know, now you've learned, I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't always make them drink.
Yep. Yeah, I remember hearing a story of a coach, and I believe it was Jim Wacker, who was at the Gophers, was down coaching in Texas at the time, and he went to high school, and he was talking to the high school coach. He says, how are you doing? He says, not good. You know, we got two kids I was counting on playing this year, and both of them quit the team or decided not to come out, and so I'm really blah, 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 blah. And Coach Wacker said, how many you got out for the team? And he said, you know, 82. And he says, so let me get this straight. You got 82 people that believe in you, and you're going to choose
right
to focus on the two that don't. You owe it to the 82 that do
right
to be a great coach to them, because they have chosen to believe in you. Is that kind of what we're talking about here?
That's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about. Yep. And again, it is so easy to get distracted and want to help those, but I'm going to steal that one from Coach Wacker, because that's certainly the truth. And so we focus on the ones that are there, that are committed to the things that we're trying to do, the investments that we make in them. And so, yes, sir, that's where we're at. Yeah.
Larry, as one of the things that we see, I've learned a lot. I will say I'll never really, I know a lot about the inner city because I'm connected to people like you. I'll never really know the inner city unless you live there. That's the way I believe it. I believe that's true of growing up in a small town, too. There's a lot of people who think they understand what it's like to live in a small town. Until you lived in it, you don't really understand it. And we're all the product of something that way. But we see sometimes now with these carjackings, 13 and 14-year-olds don't even have their driver's license involved in carjackings. Can you give us a profile at all of kids that end up there at that early of an age, and is there anything that you see that we can do?
Well, I can't say that I can give you a profile. And what I can tell you, Maxie, is, and I say this all the time, and this is my personal opinion, but we've talked about that. It's the leadership of this city that have put this city in that predicament. And I'll tell you, one of the things is, and we talk in particularly about North Minneapolis, Max, you've been over here, you sat down with me, and I'm telling you, that a lot of those kids on this side of town, Maxie, there is no theater. There's no no skating rink.
Nope.
There's no bowling alley. The parks close before sun goes down. Many of the schools don't have after-school programs and offering for these kids. And so when they say idle time is a devil's workshop.
Yep.
And so when you and again, when you cut and defund organizations like PAL, where you had the policemen and the firemen and positive, particularly African-American men involved in these kids' lives, and you've taken those things away, I mean, what do you expect? That is the return on the non-investment that you've made.
Sure. Absolutely. And you know, there's another piece of that, too, Larry. And I don't know. It took me a while to figure this out. And it's this. If you depend on where you grow up, but I want everybody that's listening to think about this. If you bring your kids to school every day, what do you drive by to get to school? It's a different, you know, obviously everybody drives through, you know, different neighborhoods, etc. There's a huge difference between driving on Broadway and seeing stores that are have bars on them and vacant lots. And on top of that, maybe some memories. Say, that's where my cousin got shot. And every day you go through that, the imprint is so large, you know, on your way to school. And to your point about that leadership, et cetera, you got to clean that up to an extent. You got to drive to school and go, well, maybe one day I can own that restaurant, and that restaurant better not have bars in front of it or closed.
Absolutely, Maxie. I mean, and you're right. I mean, you don't drive down Broadway and you can't point to black businesses or ownership of black businesses or places. And like you say, I mean, you on your way to school, you see more memorials and other kinds of things. And again, I mean, you when kids don't have options, they will find the streets. Anybody will tell you. I mean,
that's 100% almost, huh?
Even Max, you know this. I mean, and this even in a small town, right? There are those kids that when they don't have things to do and they aren't engaged in the community, they'll find, you know what I'm saying?
They'll find something to do and it won't be healthy. Now, it might not be a gang, it might not be a carjacking, but they're going to find unhealthy things to do.
Unhealthy things, absolutely. Correct. Yes, sir.
So, the easier piece of this is to talk about basketball. Your team looks good again this year. How do you feel?
I tell you, you know, we got to get a bunch of guys who's coming out of football who are not in basketball shape.
You've whipped them into shape before, though.
Yeah, but and I'm just saying, the first two games, you know, you see a little bit of rust and that kind of stuff. But I like these kids. I mean, we just coming off a hard fought 1-point loss to the number 36 team in the country in Chicago, Simeon. We had
that was in South Dakota, right?
We're in South Dakota, yeah, and the kids play well. So I'm just excited about my kids getting in shape and what's ahead. They're going to be pretty tough to deal with come mid-February.
Now, what was that competition? It wasn't just you. There was a couple of Minnesota teams there, right?
Yes, Tino Grace was there, and then there. I mean, it was some of the top teams in the Midwest. Dream Academy, Sunrise Christian Academy, I think they're number one or number two in the country. They look like a college or even a professional team. When you put, I mean, they started one kid that was going to sign with Duke, one kid that signed with Kansas. So the level of competition, Ken Wood from Chicago was there. I think they're number four in the nation. And one of the better teams from South Dakota. So it was really, really tough competition.
Now, you got a really interesting matchup coming next week. COVID permitting, as we always say these days, but you got a team from Houston coming to town. Explain.
Yeah, so we've been working on this for about a year with the Minnesota Black Basketball Coaches Association. We're putting on the first annual George Floyd Jr. Memorial Classic, and Houston Yates will be taking on Minneapolis North December 28th at 5 p.m. That is the high school that George Floyd went to, and so those games are going to be held at North Central University, and You know, we just thought as a community of coaches, first of all, we wanted to remember the contribution of change that George Floyd has not only brought to this community, but to our country. And so we're hosting, we're raising money for a scholarship for kids of color to be able to attend school. And so this is our first annual event.
So how difficult is it to get them to come up and play? Because that's costly for them, too. How difficult is it to make all this work?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been blessed in a sense, and we've had some people who helped us out a little bit financially to get them here, helping with hotel and what have you. And so, yep. And then we have one of the top teams out of Chicago coming as well, Chicago Orr, which would be good playing against Park Center. Well, so we got two
sure.
Minnesota top teams and two of the country's top teams that are coming in here for a tournament. So it should be a great two-day event.
You know, there's a George Floyd Foundation now to help, I guess, with different causes. In your mind, what is the greatest thing that that foundation could do financially for the city or for kids?
Well, so again, Maxie, in my mind, in the words of Nelson Mandela, say that education is probably one of the greatest weapons that you can have. And so to me, investing in kids, helping them go to either a vocational school or to college to pursue education that put themselves in a position to make more than a livable wage, that they can take care of their families, that they can buy a home, that they can change their lives. To me, that's the greatest investment that we can make. And some of these other things I honestly struggle with, but I think there's no better investment than helping our kids pursue opportunities as apprentice, internship, college degrees to give them an opportunity to change their lives and their future family lives.
Amen. You and I will talk again soon. Always appreciate it. But Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yep, we'll talk soon, too. Larry McKenzie from Minneapolis North. They've got that team coming from Houston. It'll be a great, I mean, they got Park Center, a team from Chicago. If you just want to see great basketball, you can go there. And then, obviously, for a great cause as well. Next week at North Central University. We'll have more on, you know, as it gets closer, we'll tell you some more details about it. But if you'd like to go watch great basketball, you'll see it there.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Who are we talking about? Donner, Blitzen?
Run, run, Rudolph.
Rudolph?
I ain't too far behind.
We never found out. We knew Rudolph
run,
had the nose.
Run,
we know he'll have it again, on, you know, and it glows and it lights up everything and it provides Santa with direction and it's like the headlights on a car. We know that. But we have never known whether or not Rudolph was bright in terms of intellectually speaking. We always just talk about his nose and I understand there's value in that alone. But what would really be interesting is what if one Christmas Eve the nose went out? Could Rudolph lead Santa on that tour of duty through the world from roof to roof if the light went out? And no one has ever been able to clarify. We've seen movies on it. We've heard songs about it. We've heard people talk about him. No one has ever said what happens if the nose burns out. And so many things we're afraid to talk about until we have to talk about them. Well, then it's too late. I don't know how that plays out. I hope that Santa has a plan. I don't know if he does. And, you know, I shouldn't say this. A lot of those elves are on commission as to how many built products they can get out there and then they get a piece of it, you know? And so they're so busy trying to create product because they know there's more cash than for them. And they're not spending enough time going, okay, we need to be safe about this. And if Rudolph's nose goes out, what do we got? Well, nobody thinks about it, right? Especially those little elves. Because they just want to make hay. And I mean, it's just one of those things you got to consider. When we come back, Lucas Patterson, we're still talking basketball in a big way in the high school front in Minnesota and beyond. Find out next on WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.